chat with our pal David Amber from Sportsnet and Hockey Night in Canada. Good morning, David. Last week you were in Montreal at a kids hockey tournament. Where do we find you today?
I'm in the streets of Toronto, and I'm miraculously not in gridlock traffic, so that's good to know.
Wow, that is impressive. Yeah. Things are showing up David Amber today. I like it. Flames win their seventh in a row. Let's start with that game last night. It was a lot of fun to be there. Not sure how well it translated on TV, but tons of Leafs fans as always. Calgary scores three early in the third period to pull away. Toronto loses in regulation for the first time this year when leading after 40. And the Flames right now, David, are rolling. They've won seven in a row. And again, I don't want to say it's all the coaching change, but it sure seems that thing that has helped. It has allowed them to feel a little bit better about themselves. The pressure perhaps is taken off a bit. What are you seeing with the Flames right now from afar?
Well, I can tell you, first of all, it did look like a really fun night at the Saddle Dome. I mean, it did translate on TV. I was watching last night, and you could hear, you know, the Flames fans didn't want to be drowned out with the Go Leafs Go chant and everything else. And it erupted, especially early in the third. I don't even think half the people were in their seats at the point when Gaudreau tied things up at two. It was electric. But this is, you know, listen, this is the Flames team that we expected to see at the start of the year, at least that I expected. I picked Calgary to win the West in my preseason predictions, and I had a bag over my head about 5 weeks ago, you know, denying I made that declaration. But I'm feeling pretty good about it again. What I love about it is Jeff Ward seems to have injected a bit of, you know, helping galvanize this team under, you know, the worst circumstances. But it seems like they've pulled together. Johnny Gaudreau is back to being an elite scorer and player in the league. He struggled, you know, mightily, even just, you know, about 10, 12 days ago. You know, I remember looking and saying, holy crap, he's 133rd in the league in goals. That's not the Johnny Gaudreau we know. And, you know, he's looking like his confidence is back. But most importantly to me is the complementary pieces, you know, the Dylan Dubés, now Lucic and Ronaldo, and all these guys seem to collectively be doing what we were hoping and expecting them to do, contribute on nights when you can't just say Monahan, Gaudreau, you know, Lindholm lead the way. So it's really been fun to watch. And as you said, you know, who would have thought 2 weeks ago that they'd be sitting there, you know, climbing back into the position they're in and essentially fighting for first in the Pacific Division. So it's been really fun to watch.
It sure has been. And big win over the Coyotes Tuesday in Arizona. They'll play the Oilers for the first time in 2 weeks today after Christmas, their first game back on the 27th of December. So going to have some more divisional games, obviously, in there. And again, I don't want to take anything away from the Pacific, David, but early on in the season, okay, a bit of a surprise in some eyes for the Oilers and certainly for the Coyotes. I don't think, you know, maybe we saw them for a wild card type team, maybe not a top of the division type team, though. And to be honest, with the San Jose struggling with the way things went in Anaheim, Vancouver has been kind of right there, but it's allowed the Flames to stay in it, and now they're benefiting from this great run.
It's wide open, and I don't know if I want to say, wow, there are five or six amazing teams in the Pacific, or wow, there's five or six mediocre teams in the Pacific. It's really hard to judge at this point. What I will say is that, you know, if you go up and down the resumes of those teams and look at the makeup of those teams, I really like where Calgary sits. Yes, they're not in first, but I like their roster. I like where they're heading a lot better than the San Jose's, a lot better than the Edmontons, a lot better than the Arizonas of the world. You know, I think the cream rises to the top, and that's what we're seeing. And you've heard the Flames players say in the last couple of weeks, you know, what people are asking systemically, what is different about this team under Jeff Ward compared to Bill Peters? And a few of the players have pointed out, you know, we back check differently. We're putting defensive pressure on the other team differently. And I think that's a big part of it. I think it wasn't just that the goals weren't necessarily going in previously. I also think it was they weren't maybe defending as a five-man unit, and they maybe didn't feel confident at times that they could shut down the other team's best players. And now you're seeing, you know, they're getting it done. Special teams, still a lot of work to be done, but, you know, it was a pretty impressive 5-on-3 kill for a minute 40 last night or whatever, a minute 35 last night. And that was probably the turning point in the game. I mean, it was 4-2. The Leafs have this massive two-man advantage. They have $40 million of player out on the ice plus. And, you know, the closest they came was a goalpost by Austin Matthews. So, it's been fun to watch, and the Flames are really well positioned right now. You have to You know, again, if I'm sitting in Vegas putting money down and they say who's going to win the Pacific, my money would go down on the Calgary Flames, not just because they're on a seven-game winning streak, but because they're basically playing like the team we expected to see at the start of the year.
Now, on the other foot, the Maple Leafs kind of benefiting from the same thing. Again, a division where you look up in the standings, you've got Montreal 2 points up on you, Buffalo 4 points up on you. The only team that's really separated themselves is the Boston Bruins. So kind of a twofold there. A, you get back in the race with a win or two. And number two, you're not in a really a spot right now anyways where you're lining up for a first-round playoff matchup against the team that continues to knock you out. So Toronto is still in a fairly decent position. But that being said, how big is that game tomorrow in Edmonton for the Maple Leafs?
Well, I think it's big for Edmonton and it's big for Toronto. And, you know, Edmonton is reeling. They've lost three in a row and they've seen their stranglehold on their playoff positioning, you know, loosened quite dramatically. And the Leafs, as you speak, you know, it's been an up and down situation. They're now 6-4 with Sheldon Keefe as the head coach. You mentioned right off the top, for the first time this season, they went into the third with a lead and came out with a regulation loss. You know, so they're a little panicked. I mean, even Boston in that division, as amazing as they've been, and they've been exceptional, and they've had a slew of injuries, which they fought through, they've lost five games in a row. So I think what we're seeing is there's no unflawed team in the league. Every team has some flaws and some blemishes. You can survive and make the playoffs with a 5-6 game losing streak, because that's going to happen. I mean, we're seeing it with Boston right now. The Leafs have already used their mulligan. The Leafs have lost six in a row, and that's what led to the Mike Babcock firing. They've used that. They now need to play at a pace, you know, where they're essentially winning 2 out of 3 games. So these games become paramount. And it's really about getting back to feeling comfortable themselves with the team they are. There is a lot of pressure in this city for the Leafs to do well. The expectations are through the roof. The coach has been fired, right? And now they're staring down and the players have to look in the mirror and say, what are we? What kind of team are we? And can we handle this pressure? Because there's an incredible amount of pressure, much like there is in Calgary, but maybe even more pronounced in Toronto because of these incredibly huge contracts that Marner, Matthews, Tavares, Nylander all have. So the timing in a lot of people's eyes is now for the Leafs, and that puts a lot of pressure on. And the question is, can they handle that? And Saturday is going to be a big benchmark to see, you know, under the bright lights against McDavid and Draisaitl, how they perform.
He is David Amber from Sportsnet and Hockey Night in Canada. Joins us every Friday at this time here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. The Leafs are in Edmonton tomorrow. Early game on Hockey Night in Canada, 5 o'clock here in Calgary, 7 o'clock out east. Of course, that one is coast to coast on CBC. That being said, you know, you mentioned it kind of, we've talked around it, but what have you made of the Oilers the last, I think it's 8 wins in regulation, the last 26 games? They had a red hot October. You know, McDavid and Draisaitl, I don't want to say they were playing over their heads, but they certainly were carrying that team. The goaltending was pretty good, but it's fallen off. What's gone wrong at Edmonton, and should we have expected this to happen at some point this season?
Yeah, I wouldn't point to McDavid and Draisaitl, because I think they're both very capable of continuing this pace, you know, finishing with, 130, 135 points. I don't think that's an unrealistic expectation for those two. I think where maybe there was some players being playing a little bit over their head is, you know, you're asking Ethan Bear to carry the most minutes of any rookie in the league. You're asking Oscar Klefbom to play the most minutes of any player in the NHL. I mean, you're asking him to kind of produce the way that Marc Giordano did last year. That's a tall ask. Klefbom's a very good player, but that's a big ask for him. But again, the problem that we're witnessing was the same problem that was being identified even when they were off to that 5-0 start in October. Do they have enough depth scoring to take the pressure off of Draisaitl and McDavid when they're not producing, when teams can effectively shut them down or at least contain them? Is there enough surrounding those two to get things done? The definitive answer is no. I mean, they've lost their last 24 games when McDavid and Draisaitl have not collected a point. I mean, think about that. And you guys saw the problems in Calgary when Gaudreau and Monahan weren't producing, but you do have some other guys who can put the puck in the net. You know, Matthew Tkachuk's been there since day one. Lindholm's obviously a very bona fide producer and an elite player. They don't have that kind of supporting cast around Draisaitl and McDavid, and it's been exposed at times, and right now maybe that's the situation. And then on the other side of the ledger, this was a team that was in the bottom third in goals allowed, you know, for a number of years. And then suddenly, this year, we kind of looked and went, wow, they're right up there in the top 6-7 in goals against. That's pretty formidable for a goaltending tandem that, you know, not everyone was overly enthusiastic about. And maybe they've come down to earth just a little bit. But again, I like the Oilers, don't get me wrong, but there's a lot of flaws. There are a lot of questions there. Are they a playoff team? Certainly they could be. But I look at them as a team that, you know, I think it's incumbent on Kenny Holland to find a little bit more complimentary scoring to go with McDavid and Drysdale, because it's just way too much pressure and expectations to think those two can just literally carry the team, you know, putting up, you know, 50%+ of their points and goals. It just doesn't seem like a sustainable thing. Well,
you know, we talked so much about there's been five coaches fired in the NHL this year, and it's crazy what we're in right now with hockey culture. Elliot Friedman had to, you know, kind of reiterate multiple times that Pete DeBoer was fired for hockey reasons in San Jose. The coaching change is one thing, David, and I think if you look from afar, they obviously signed Erik Karlsson, signed Evander Kane, guys that they brought in via trade and didn't re-up their own guys like a Jonas Donskoy and a Joe Pavelski, and sometimes that can create a little bit of friction inside a locker room. What are you seeing with the San Jose Sharks, who again last night couldn't get a save from Martin Jones, and this is very much a win-now team, but they're not getting the wins, and I'm just curious, like for me, I'm surprised there's not more heat on Doug Wilson. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, you hit it on the head. Pete DeBoer, the night before the season started, was in an interview. I read this, and I put it in my notes. Our window is now. Our time to win is now. So he knew coming in, if the team stumbled out of the gate or had a prolonged problem, the problem was going to probably fall right in his lap. And that's inevitably what's happened to Peter DeBoer, who's a very good coach. And, you know, it's unfortunate that, you know, he did lose his job. How I see it, quite simply, isn't a chemistry issue. Yeah, they lost Pavelski, Donskoy. They lost some important parts. I see it more as, one, it's a goaltending issue. Their save percentage, I believe, is 29th in the league. It's very hard to have a competitive team when you have the 29th best save percentage in the NHL. You're not going to have a playoff team. And secondly, you know, in a league that's now as young as it's ever been, it's the youngest it's ever been. You look at San Jose, they're not a young team. They're an old team. I mean, Burns and Thornton and Marlowe and, you know, Karlsson, even Couture and Kane, they're not old guys, but they're not, you know, 21-year-old guys leading the way. So I do think there's an age situation, pardon me, and I do think most importantly there's a goaltending and defensive situation in San Jose, and they can't just outscore their mistakes. You know, last year they made it to the playoffs, Will, and of the 16 playoff teams, they had allowed the most goals of any of the 16 playoff teams. So maybe there was a little bit of smoke and mirrors involved there. And I know they won a playoff round, but we all remember how Game 7 against Vegas went. That was, you know, thanks to the refs, essentially. So it just hasn't been a recipe for success. And I think it's coming back to bite them. And you're right. I think the eyeballs are going to be on Doug Wilson. And Doug Wilson has a very strong relationship with the ownership group. And he's made a lot of shrewd moves. But I'm wondering, in the back of my mind, if that 8-year, you know, astronomical deal they signed Erik Karlsson to, you know, could be the final big splash that Doug Wilson's able to make, because that was kind of an all-in proposition on Karlsson. I'm not sure with his history of injuries and everything else that you wanted to go to that length. And it could be a bit of an albatross. And this isn't to put it all on Karlsson, but my point is, you know, Doug Wilson has played a lot of chips. He's now got rid of Todd McClellan. He's now got rid of Peter DeBoer. So he's gone through a couple of coaches. So the next man in line, you know, for the extra scrutiny, you know, theoretically would be him. So 6 straight losses. We're going to find out tomorrow night. This is our nightcap on hockey night tomorrow night, Canucks and San Jose. And it's going to be a very, very interesting watch, because there is a lot at stake here. Because, you know, as Pete DeBoer said, the window is now for this team based on their age and experience and their contract. And right now they're underperforming on a big, big level.
Should be a fun day of hockey tomorrow. It all begins 11 o'clock Calgary time in the nation's capital, Ottawa, at home to Columbus. The Flames play at 2 o'clock. We mentioned the Oilers and the Leafs at 5. And then, as you said, San Jose, Vancouver, 8 o'clock. Have a great broadcast tomorrow. Have an excellent weekend. David, we'll talk to you next week.
I look forward to it. Can't wait to talk to you again. Enjoy the week.
You too. There you go. David Amber.